Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
And that is us on a really, really nice day today. A beautiful Monday in South Florida, and we hope that you had a great holiday, whether it be Easter, Passover, because it was, other than I think a couple of hours on Friday, I think Thursday night, Friday, there was some rain and thunder in the area. What a weekend. I mean, wow. I saw Len, our program director, who was at the Marlin game yesterday, and he took a picture, and I responded by saying, what a beautiful day. They had the roof open. Still didn't help the Marlins. But, hey, listen, when they win, everybody's going to be thankful because this is a program on the growth, and we know that very well. But we are a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show that is a year-round program, and it fills a need like you don't even know. We are starting spring football today, where the colleges have completed it, and they come down and start looking at some of these players throughout the, the next three-plus weeks. They will have an opportunity to see a lot of really good talent. And for the class, the upcoming class of 2020, which will be the senior class for this coming year, there is almost every day when you look and you see a lot of the colleges. I mean, if you're a football fan, just a college football fan, I mean, you have to understand that your school will be here. Your school will be here quite often, and from Palm Beach all the way down to the Keys, we'll spend a lot of time. No downtime. Not here. I mean, you know, maybe other places in the country, but there's too many programs, too many talented athletes to take a look at, and they will. And this is the time to do it. This is where you set the table. This is where colleges who had offered early on to some of these athletes will get a look at them 1 year into the process, more mature. For better or for worse, really, not always for great. You know, some kids do regress. Obviously, it comes down to work ethic if you want to put a lot into it. But this is the time. I mean, this is the time that everybody hears about. This is the time that everybody talks about. This is spring football in South Florida. I mean, throughout the entire state. But being in the South Florida area and seeing how many athletes line up on Sundays and Saturdays, nationally, you put on a national game anytime throughout the course of just a season, and every game is going to have somebody from South Florida or from the region in the game, and certainly it's something that we take very serious. If you get on our website, which all our guests this evening go on quite a bit, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, or go to WQAM.com, and you'll be able to get right there. And we do two blogs a day. I mean, two really informative blogs a day that talk about recruiting, talk about your favorite schools, whether it be Miami, FAU, FIU, St. Thomas University, cooking a little bit now. So we devote it to everybody, give everybody a little bit of exposure, but all the college football fans like it as well. So it's something that we like to do, and it's important for our daily readers to the website and to our many social media outlets, which we have all our profiles on. It's important for them and for all of us, and to keep on doing this the right way. Great show, as we said. We have a state championship at every corner. The three state championship coaches are joining us from last year's state championship team. About 7:45 or so, from two-time defending state champion Miami Northwestern. Coach Max Edwards will join us. They are 5A now. There's some classification bumps, and actually two of the three guests tonight will have the have that classification change. At 7:30, as we do every week, we have a Hurricane Miami Hurricane segment, and we check in with somebody, whether it's a player, a recruit, somebody that covers a team. And this evening, Christy Chirinos from the South Florida Sun Sentinel will be kind enough to join us. And I really want you to check this segment out, because she's going to talk about the spring game, talk about her views of what happened during the spring. And, you know, and then that's important to a lot of fans. And she was there the other day. And remember, she broke the story with Coach Mark Richt and talking to him, taking a look at why he left the program. So that's what we'll check her out about 7:30. At 7:20, Coach Damian Jones, he doesn't have to change classifications. He's from Chaminade Madonna. He's two-time defending 3A state champions. He'll join us as well. We kick off tonight's program with the defending 5A state champions moving to 4A now. But nevertheless, first time in the school history, we've had him a lot in the offseason. Hard worker, gets his kids together throughout the course of the year for a lot of different activities. Coach Matt DeBuck from Cardinal Gibbons is kind enough to join us, I know, on his spring break. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, Larry, thanks for having me.
Well, you know what? You as soon as most coaches who win state championships, Coach, will get back and, you know, relish in it. And just the next couple of days after you kind of let it all sink in, you were back to the drawing board. You were taking the kids that you knew were coming back. You saw what you have to work with. I mean, but that's something that's been you for, you know, you attended the school. You've coached there for a number of years. Talk about that. I mean, because you understand that to build a team is not really tough, but to build a program is a lot tougher, and that's what you've done. Talk about that process and, you know, what you think, as one season ends and another one comes about.
Oh, I've been doing this a long time, Larry, and people don't understand really how hard it is to win a state championship. I think the teams we had last year and the year before were as good as the team that we had this year that won it all. And we were standing, you know, toe-to-toe with American Heritage. So, you know, you need some breaks. You need some luck. And for those things to happen, you know, you have to, turn every rock over and continue to push forward. And, you know, you can get caught in a rut. And I'm up here in Melrose, Florida on vacation. And I was at Bradford High School on Monday talking air raid with their coach. And, you know, you can't rest on your laurels, and you got to continue to push forward.
Yeah. Did you get a game with them at least? And that's a pretty good program. I mean, that's a smaller school and a, you know, kind of a smaller town. But, you know, you talk about your program and a school that wasn't so far away from there was Suwanee. And that's the last time that Cardinal Gibbons got to a state title game. You happen to be a part of that program. You've watched this team grow throughout the years and, you know, ups and downs and getting to a point and then coming down again. What was the thing that put this program over the hump? I mean, to get you finally beating American Heritage twice in a year and getting to state and answering every belt. What got this program over that hump?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with consistency and you know, on offense, we run the air raid, but, you know, we run it the way we do it, and it's a little different from maybe some other people, but consistently, offensively, we're pretty year in and year out. We're not changing things. And then Jack Hanrahan and Dave Montiel on defense, they don't change a whole lot. So the kids know what we're doing. You know, I think if they know what they're doing and they come out, the coaches know the expectations of what the kids can do, I think you have a recipe for success. Now, you know, there's so much turnover in high school football and there's so much turnover in college football. You know, to keep that thing rolling isn't always easy. But I think the biggest model for our program has been since I took over, and even Mike, you know, just being consistent. You know, 4 years in a row now, our kids we've been watching film in the morning with our quarterbacks. Our quarterbacks are so ahead of where they were, you know, the backup and now the potential starters.
Right.
They know what they have to do. You know, the battle cry is, you know, on our offense is to use all 11 people. And so many times, you know, if you run the football, you got one guy touching it 25 times a game. You know, if you have a stud receiver, he catches it 7-8 times a game. And I think what makes our offense so good is it's hard to defend just one guy, whether it was Vincent Davis or, you know, Coleman Bennett or Tajay Davis or Troy Stiletto or Jake Harrington or Nick Scalzo or Brody Pelegi. You know, for us, it's just, you know, playing with all 11 and then our offensive line doing such a great job for us.
Yeah, no, I mean I mean, the size, too. I mean, you guys have had you can see over the last couple of years how much difference up front size-wise. I think that happened maybe like 4 or 5 years ago where you used to have bigger kids but not enough of them. Now you got a lot.
Yeah, and it all, you know, when you have a system and you have guys that are, you know, understand what you're trying to do, they want to be a part of it when you create a program. And as long as I'm going to be the head coach at Cardinal Givens, we're going to have a program set in place, and we're going to have expectations.
Yeah.
And, you know, the nice thing is I'm a guy that's a learner. So, you know, when the college coaches come in, I'm asked questions, you know, how can we implement some of the things that they do in their program? How can we do it at the high school level? Some things I can use, some things it's a head scratcher. And then other things you say, yeah, that works at our level. And, you know, I think I've just asked a lot of questions over the years and I've been able to implement those things with a great coaching staff that works with me and a great administration.
Coach Matt DeBuck joins us, head coach at Cardinal Givens, his alma mater, wins state title last year in 5A over North Marion in the Ocala area, and you come back this year, Coach, and certainly with a team that is athletic, young at spots, but certainly the skill kids, and you were talking, I think, about it at one of the events that we were at, this may be the most complete group of receivers you've had. You've had some really good individuals, but from a complete standpoint of slots and kids that spread the offense a little bit, kids that aren't afraid to go out and fight for balls. You've got like one of each or maybe two of each in each category. Talk about that as your quarterback who, what a phenomenal job that Brody Pelegi did down the stretch, and a young kid will have more weapons to choose from, plus that line we talked about and a running game.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I've been around a lot of good receivers and I play the position and we right now, I would tell you, are more complete at that position than we've ever been since I've been at Cardinal Givens. And if I look around Broward County, I would put those guys up against anybody. So, you know, with again, using all 11 people and mixing and matching our skill guys, you know, I think week to week, we're going to be hard to defend. You know, our running game is going to be, we have three senior running backs that we really like, all three of them.
Right.
So, you know, we'll still run the football and we'll still do those things. And obviously we're going to put our kids in the best positions. And, you know, we have a tough schedule coming forward and you know, with success comes pressure and we'll see how many diamonds we can make through the season. But I got a lot of confidence in our coaches and our players.
Yeah, no, and you've showed it. And talking about a lot of kids, I mean, from that offense, you lose a kid to Pitt, Vincent Davis, who was arguably one of the best backs in South Florida last year. And obviously you lose a quarterback and Nick Scalzo, who rewrote a lot of record books where there's been some really good quarterbacks over the last decade plus. So that's not easy as well because those are playmaker guys for you. But as you said, you have kids that who have shown in maybe backup roles or maybe even starting roles along the way that they have what it takes to do it.
Well, listen here, and every coach will tell you, you know, when they lose a senior class that's been successful, you know, I've been so fired up in the off season working with our quarterbacks and in the weight room and watching our kids play other sports and competing and it's been a good off season, but I've had enough of that now. We're ready to start practice.
Yeah.
We're on spring break. We had 20 kids in the weight room today voluntarily.
Wow.
I mean, you know, when you got 20 kids in the weight room that don't have to be there because they're on spring break, that just goes to show you where our direction we're headed. And
right.
And I think moving forward, I think we're going to be a very, very, very competitive group. I can't tell you wins and losses. And, you know, none of that matters today.
Right.
Because we have to play spring football, and we have to go out there, and we have to compete there. And I can't tell you. I'm as born again, fired up, ready to roll that I've been in a long time.
Well, we'll let you make predictions in August when you know a little bit more about your team. Yeah, I don't want you to make them now, but the one thing I did want to ask you, Coach, before we let you go is you talk about the coming up with spring. Do you have a spring game or a classic that everybody listening can check you guys out and see what the defending 5A state champs look like?
Sure. We're going to play on May 15th at our place against Clearwater Central Catholic in Miami Bay Lynn. Two really fine programs. And then we'll play our red and white game May 23rd at Carter Park, like we've done.
In Fort Lauderdale.
In Fort Lauderdale. And, you know, like I said, I've been on vacation, but I'm really thinking football.
You have to.
It's a never-ending cycle. And, you know, I got to tell you, and I'm sure all the head coaches will agree, when you win the state championship and you look around – and you get to get on the bus and you go home and you wake up the next day and you say, what's next?
Yeah.
So, because it's when you've been chasing this thing as long as we all do.
Yeah, you don't want to let it go. That's for darn sure.
And it's almost, I don't know, I was not depressed, but, you know, for so many years, you try to, that whole thing is get there. So, our goal was, or our hashtag was, 18-15, in the year 18, we had to be in 15 games. So this year's hashtag is hashtag defending 19.
Good.
And, you know, those are just things you
got to have rallying points. You have to have rallying points. And I didn't want to take you away from your vacation, but enjoy it. I appreciate you coming on. Again, we'll see you probably next week when the team gets started over there. Coach, again, thanks so much. And congratulations goes out to everybody at Cardinal Gibbons.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you again for all you do for these kids and our programs and high school football in general. So thanks a lot, and we'll talk soon.
Good stuff. Matt DeBuck, head coach at Cardinal Gibbons. When we come back, huge show. Don't forget Coach Max Edwards from Northwestern at 7:45. Christy Chirinos will join us talking Hurricanes at 7:30. And when we come back, the two-time defending 3A state champion, Chaminade Madonna, Coach Damian Jones.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Bringing you back on a beautiful Monday. Larry Bluestein with you on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, our radio show, and our website. Visit it daily, visit it often. A lot of great information, guys. You follow recruiting, you follow any of the features. We do them all on the kids, on the coaches, everybody. And we're right in the middle of our series of defending state champions that we took. It wasn't just defending state champions. It was teams that made the state championship game. And we've done just about everybody. Tomorrow will be St. Thomas Aquinas, finishing second last year in 7A. But a program that has really kind of put themselves right on the tracks to be in the mix every year. They've been to the state championship game three straight years, winning the last two. Easily one of the most recognizable teams in South Florida on the football field. Head coach Damian Jones from Chaminade Madonna is nice enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. And I know things have been kind of busy for you in the offseason.
Thanks for having me. Yes, it's always like that. Yeah.
Are you guys on break now too?
Yeah, we're on break right now, too, so it's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, because I would just talk to the Buck, and they're on break. In fact, he's out of the air. He says had good voluntary weightlifting today, 20 kids showed. So
right.
On their vacation, I'm sure you guys, you understand more than anybody what's at stake. When you were at Hallandale, you guys worked hard to get there. You saw how tough it was to get there and then kind of finished things off when you got to Chaminade. Talk about what it's like to be at the top and to stay there, because that may be as difficult as getting there.
Oh, without a doubt. It's one of those things that you can't get complacent. And
right.
You're at the top, and, man, if you worked hard to get there, you got to continue to work hard to stay there, you know, because it don't come overnight. It's not easy. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work with the with coaches and the players as well. It's just a lot of work, and your mindset has to be like that. And, you know, sad to say, high school coaches in South Florida, it's 12 months.
Yeah,
a year.
Yeah.
No time off. No time off.
You learn this a lot, too. I mean, at Hallandale, and people don't realize that Hallandale's not the easiest job to have. I mean, the community will get on you. You know, I mean, especially now that you're playing games at home, you know, they don't have to go to Miramar and South Broward to get on you. But that's a tougher atmosphere than most people think. So when they figured you go over to Chaminade, you go, oh, well, you got to watch out for it. No, you've come through the kind of the wars, a lot of, right, you know, behind the scenes, a lot of people don't know, but Hallandale was no easy, you know, it's not an easy place to be, especially when they get a taste of winning. Talk about that and trying to, you know, make people understand that things are going to come when they come. You know, you can't force them.
Exactly right. Especially just like you said, you know, people get used to winning or whatever, but I'm from there, so they didn't take a pass on me, you know. So they, they got used to it, especially from the basketball days, and then it kind of carried over to the football.
Sure.
They kind of got used to it and, you know, enjoyed the winning, but it's not easy.
No.
And being from that neighborhood and that school, it's a lot of work. It's
yeah.
a lot of work, you know. It's a lot of work.
And now and for the last couple of years, you've been, like a lot of people call it, you've been at the corporate world, because obviously it's a program that, you know, parents pay good money to go to your school. It's a tremendous academic school. And here you are trying to build, you know, around that. And it's not often easy. I mean, a lot of people think it's an easy job. I mean, you know, you have standards in the classroom. You have standards, you know, throughout the school. So you have to find balance. And, you know, I mean, it's no secret, finding kids these days that are going to meet all the requirements are not easy.
Without a doubt. And I guess, you know, going through those reigns of Hallandale kind of prepared me for the Chaminade thing, where I'm just used to working.
Right.
I'm just used to working. So I don't feel like it's any easier or any harder. It's just work, you know. So finding that balance of kids, just like you say, it's the same, you know, because even at Hallandale, we had those type of kids with the Zach Moss, the Tyler Huntleys, you know, those type
yep,
of kids
yep.
where they can survive in the classroom and on the field. And, you know, those are the ones you kind of, you know, want to build your program around, that kids that can balance both.
And at Chaminade, as we're speaking with Coach Damian Jones, Chaminade Madonna, two-time defending state champions, and at Chaminade too. I mean, you're seeing over the last couple of years the fruits of the hard work. You know, the guys going off to major schools. Last year, one of the best running backs in the country, who had an opportunity to watch this year, Sean Shivers, who is on the track now and doing pretty darn well there in the SEC. But seeing guys like that, and then seeing kids that come into your program and with some teaching from your coaches and yourself turn into something pretty special. I mean, they've had it all along, but they just weren't refined. Talk about that, because I think people listening love to hear success stories, especially about hard work, you know, when you put hard work in.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, especially when you relate to Sean Shivers.
Right.
You know, with a kid that when you just look at him and you look at his statue, you're like, yeah, this kid is 5'3". There's no way he can play football in the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, but his work ethic is crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he probably has that, what they call that, short man syndrome. Where, you know, he just works his behind off to make just to prove people wrong, man.
And he runs a 10-3 in the 100, too. So.
Yeah, that don't hurt, you know? That doesn't hurt.
And
what a wonderful kid.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's not the only one. Yeah, Xavier Williams, it's at Alabama. You have a number of kids who've come up, worked extremely hard, and, you know, have progressed. And in fact, one of the coaches I was talking to the other day from Florida Tech was talking about your running back, a kid that, you know, played a role for you guys, you know, last year. I mean, here's a kid that was at Archbishop McCarthy, and he was down at Miami Central. And, you know, talk about guys like that, guys who are like Willie Davis, who was way under the radar, and a lot of people don't see him. But Florida Tech figures he's going to be huge in their plans.
He's going to be big. And that's why I tell a lot of kids sometimes, of course, you love to see the big name schools, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, if you want to be a big fish, I would tell them, boom, man, go be the big fish in the little pond.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
And, you know, so I don't have to get those phone calls when you're the little fish in the big phone call. I mean, the big pond where you like coves, not it, you know, but at the end of the day, man, he's going to be tremendous with them because he's a heck of a running back.
Yeah, no doubt. So when you finally get back to practice next week, do you have a spring game or not this year?
Nah, we do our inner squad we've been doing, you know, for years before I even got there. Before, I'm used to playing spring games coming from public school, but I kind of like it, the inner squad, because you kind of can control it the way you want to control it. So I kind of fell in love with it after a while. I wasn't a fan of it at first, but.
Well, I know that the University of Miami fans are going to be listening a lot about Chaminade. You sent three there this year. You got another one coming next year and another one coming the year after. And certainly, I know that everybody out there, Hurricane fans, are going to be watching Chaminade Madonna, that type of caliber program. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time during your holiday. And, you know, we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Damian Jones, two-time defending state champion, head coach at Chaminade Madonna, and certainly somebody who's got an opportunity to do it again. I mean, I know that everybody keeps talking about Trinity Christians back in 3A, but you know what? By the time that game comes up, Trinity could be worn down. They have a tough schedule. Chaminade always has a tough schedule as well. Over the weekend, guys, you know, in our hurricane segment, we always talk about what was going to happen up in Orlando, who's going to emerge, who was going to do something that they didn't do the week before at Tras Pal. And as she does, she just travels everywhere. And I know it was a tough weekend because she had Easter with the family. She was worn out. Chrissy Chirinos, as she does from time to time, is joining us fresh from Orlando and watching that scrimmage, I guess, spring game. Chrissy, you were like the talk of Orlando for a number of things. Your great ability to keep tweeting during the scrimmage, which I like. But not only that, is talking with Mark Richt and coming up with some of the reasons why he, you know, has felt was time to move on. And I know that, you know, you have a good relationship with everybody. Talk about that.
Hi there. So, we got a little bit of a surprise. We're sitting there watching the scrimmage, and you know, ESPN had just announced that Mark Richt had been hired as one of the analysts for their new ACC network.
Right.
And I mean, everybody's focused on the field, and all of a sudden, you just hear from this voice from the back of the press box go, "So, who do you guys think should be the starting quarterback?" And it was, I mean, listen, you had to give him credit. How many times did poor Mark Richt get asked that question? A million and one times last fall. So he turned the tables on us a little bit, and you know,
that's
It was good to finally talk to him. I know a lot of us had questions, a lot of our readers, a lot of Miami fans had questions, you know, just kind of about what happened. Because obviously, as tough as last season was, that resignation on December 30th, I don't think any of us saw it coming.
Nobody
certainly
did,
not the players, even. So,
not even Manny Diaz.
No, he was on his way to Temple and ready to start a new gig up in Philadelphia. So, you know, it was nice to kind of catch up with him and get his thoughts on the subject. And really, I said this earlier when I was talking to someone else. I just said he seemed like a man who was completely at peace with his decision. You know, as tough as it was to reach it, you know, he's happy to be spending more time with his family, spending more time with his grandkids.
Sure, sure.
You know, this new opportunity with the ACC network, like you said, I'm going to be able to still be around the game I love and still be able to be with my family. Yep. So there was that. And then he also said, I just also felt it was the best move, not only for me, but for Miami. And, you know, he really had a lot of high praise for Manny Diaz, who was obviously his defensive coordinator.
Sure,
we knew that.
Sure.
But, you know, he said, listen, this is a guy who understands what Miami is and what Miami can be. And, you know, he would have been my first call if I was Blake James.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It turns out that it all worked out in the end for both of them. And now we'll just see if Manny can take it that next level.
And he really cemented his legacy, you know, getting him that practice facility, spearheading
Absolutely.
That, giving his of his own money. I mean, people could say, oh, well, he makes this. Listen, he could give it somewhere else. You know, I mean, he doesn't have to do that. And he did. And, you know, he's gracious to everybody. I mean, you know, he taught everybody a lot of things, especially that a 55-year-old man could do a 10-meter dive. Whoever knew that?
Yeah.
But that was impressive.
And it's important to remember, too, listen, you know, the last year did not go the way everyone thought it would. And,
yep.
and 2017 ended, you know, on a sour note with that losing streak. But let's not forget, he got Miami their first bowl win in over a decade.
Yes, he did.
Snapped that losing streak to Florida State, which, you know, had been driving players crazy. And you know, they won two with him. So, listen, it's, you know... It wasn't ideally, I think, what everybody hoped it would be in the end. I think everyone, including probably Mark Richt himself, wanted to be the one to help them, you know, turn the corner. But listen, he got them, like you said, got them the facility, got
yep.
them that first Coastal Division title, got them that first bowl win in 10 years, and got them to snap that streak
yeah.
in Florida State. So he got the ball rolling, and like we said, now it's time to see if Manny Diaz can take it and run it the rest of the way.
No doubt. Christy Chirinos of the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us. And the reason for Saturday, obviously, a good show. I saw some of the photos, some of the in the video. A lot of, you had some good fan support. You know, Miami's what Miami is, and obviously they drew some fans from a different region, and they all came obviously to see the quarterback battle. I mean, you could sugarcoat it and say, "Hey, well, we wanted to see this and that," but they all wanted to see, and it looked like all three put a nice little cap on the spring.
Yeah, what I think we all walked away from Saturday knowing for sure is that this quarterback competition is going to keep going. We knew, you know, obviously if the fans who were at Traz Powell a couple weeks ago, they saw in that scrimmage, they saw Tate Martell struggle a little bit. And it kind of seemed then you were like, okay, maybe this is a two-man race. Maybe it's Jaren Williams and Nikosi Perry that we need to be watching. And Tate Martell turns around and according to Dan Enos, had the best week of his spring,
wow.
Tuesday, Thursday, and then Saturday, obviously, going out there, goes 6 of 10 for 154 yards with two touchdowns, showed how comfortable he is, you know, when he has to run the ball, showed how comfortable he is when he's in the shotgun, and, you know, kind of said, hey, listen, if everybody's, you know, counting me out of this competition, don't do that.
Right,
don't do
right.
that. I'm going to be a part of it. So, you know, here we'll see what happens. Nobody expected that they would name a quarterback coming out of spring. Nobody ever really wins a job in the spring.
No.
But now we know that it really is going to be a three-man race heading into, obviously, the summer and preseason camp.
Christy, but let's say tomorrow, you know, a week from Saturday, you open up against the Gators. Who do you think your quarterback would be? To me, it would be Nikosi Perry because he's the only one with any experience. Nobody really has any other, and he's logged more miles. So automatically, you got to put him in there just for experience-wise.
Yeah, if you had to, if we were talking about, let's say this is Saturday is the season opener.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not something you can discount. You can't
no.
discount the fact that he has been out there with this offense, knows some of these play, you know, knows these players. Knows what to do. I mean, we saw that comeback last year against Florida State, so he
right,
knows what
right,
a rivalry
right.
game is all about. So, you know, yeah, and he's a player who, listen, the coaches have said, and granted, we heard this last year, that he was growing up and what have you, but I think that, you know, these three quarterbacks, all of them, and that includes Nikosi, have responded a little bit to the kind of hard coaching that Dan Enos is giving them.
Good.
And that's something he said, you know, on Saturday, he said, listen, I know I'm tough on them. I need to be tough on them. It wouldn't be right for me not to be tough on them. And a lot of times what I have to tell them is don't necessarily listen to my tone, but listen to my message. Listen to what I'm trying to convey to you. And yes, maybe it is frustrating if I'm yelling it while I'm saying it, but you know, I'm trying to get you all to listen. I'm trying
yeah.
to get you to respond. And they're doing that, it sounds like. So that can only benefit you know, Nikosi Perry, who, you know, like we said, he dealt with some things off the field last year, you know, the maturity question, sure, things like that. But maybe this is what he needed, kind of a little bit of tougher love than he was getting.
I asked you a couple of weeks ago, I said, who are some of the players that really surprised? He goes, and you said to me, ask me right after the spring game. I'm going to ask you, just give me a couple of people that maybe, you know, you got going in and said, you know, I'm not, maybe not have to worry, but somebody like that, who jumped off the page for you, not just in the spring game, but maybe at practice that you had a chance to see the I don't know how long you get a chance to see. Is it still the same?
We get about maybe 25 to 30 minutes. Okay. I would imagine it'll probably change once the preseason camp gets here. I wouldn't be shocked.
I would
love it if we could keep it, if Manny Diaz is listening.
I'm sure he's listening.
We'd be happy to have as much as he's willing to give us. But I will say this, you know, could anybody have expected Zion Nelson to come in and you know, an early enrollee, and all of a sudden he's the number one left tackle at the spring game?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy who added weight. I think David Feely, I think, said he's up to 270 right now, and they're going to keep working with him. But, you know, you look at all three of the early enrollees, from Jeremiah Payton,
yes,
Zion Nelson, and Jafari Harvey, all three of them have been the guys that we consistently have heard from the coaches have responded. These are guys that, you know, that I think the favorite line is, you know, they should be in prom, getting ready for prom or in English class or whatever.
They're out here
holding their own with, you know, guys that have been around the program for a little bit longer. So I thought that was really encouraging. All three of them had a good spring.
What about Will Mallory and Osborne? Yeah. Two guys, Osborne, who's an older soul, and here's a youngster like Will Mallory, but both of them can impact real quick.
Absolutely. I mean, KJ Osborne, obviously, he talked about the other day, listen, I'm getting what I came here to get. I'm getting competition in practice. I'm getting challenged in practice. This is only going to help me, and it's going to help this team. So he... obviously, you know, the older guy in the room, he's one that can pass along the lessons of maturity, you know, kind of set the tone on just, you know, the work ethic you need to be successful at this level for some of those younger receivers. So obviously he's been a boon of an addition. And then, you know, if there is any upside to Brevin Jordan getting hurt, and there is really no upside to any player getting hurt, but, you know, with him sitting out this spring, Will Mallory's taken a lot of the reps, and he's just shown he can handle it. I mean, he showed some flashes on Saturday of the matchup problem he can be.
Yeah.
Just so, you know, those are two more guys that really have kind of helped set the tone. And, you know, for me, it's been nice, too, to watch Scott Patchen, a guy who has really, like, gone through so much in his career at Miami, from position changes to injuries. You know, he's going to be a contributor on that defensive line. And, you know, obviously John Ford, before he got hurt, was doing well. And, you know, Greg Rousseau is bouncing back nicely from his injury. So there have been guys that have definitely shown the potential to definitely make an impact when the season starts next fall.
A lot to be excited for. There are a lot of young kids, a lot of veterans, thanks to the portal year. Things are going to be fun. Christy, thanks so much. As always, I hope you had a great holiday yesterday. I know it was kind of rushed, but nevertheless, that's become you. That's you, and I'm sure Rook and your husband understand that as well. Thanks so much again.
You got it. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Christy Chirinos from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. When we come back, we wrap it up. Two-time defending state champion Miami Northwestern, Coach Max Edwards, next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back to wrap things up with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein and Danny G behind the screens for us, doing what he does the best. Greg Likens coming up next between 8 o'clock and 10. So much going on. You have hockey, basketball, baseball. There were some good games, though. You watch some of those baseball games that are on the net, like Christian Yelich, to me, don't get me angry, please. I'm ready to jump off. Every time I see him, and Real Muto, Danny, I'm ready to just jump off the highest building.
every time you so much as bring up Yelich's name, like a vein grows in your forehead.
I can't believe it. That guy's just going off, I'm telling you. But nevertheless, Greg Likens will be around to talk about that NBA, some really good NBA action. But our focus on this evening is our state championship teams. Thanks so far to Coach Matt DeBuck from Cardinal Gibbons and also to Coach Damian Jones from Chaminade-Madonna, a two-time state champion. Speaking about two-time state champions, our next guest is no stranger to winning those titles, two in a row for his Northwestern Bowls, and certainly building for the future, hard work. And I know every year at this time, Coach Max Edwards comes on with us and tells us he's a long way from being ready. Coach, how you doing this year?
It's the same way, Larry. First of all, thank you for having me. We're a long way off. I'm excited to see what we're going to do. I can't wait if we get an opportunity to play Atlantic, a good team like that, to give us a good chance. But I think we're a long way off.
I know that I went to your blue and gold game last year, and and some of the kids looked pretty good, but you didn't let them off the hook. You got in their face a little bit. I mean, is that sometimes with your kids? Sometimes you got to show them, listen, what you think is good is not always good.
I have to let them know that we got to continue to work hard, because they'll think that they're good at one point when they're really not. So when you let them think like that, they tend not to work as hard. So I have to get in their face every time I get an opportunity to do.
That last year, you probably replayed last year a billion times, a team that finished a regular season 5-5. I mean, that alone is a shock for Northwestern. But as we talked last year, you always had the team. You always had the talent. It's just that the kids weren't all doing what they had to do at the same time. Things started to come around. Defensively, you tightened things up, and offensively, you did what you had to do. What was the thing that you look back at, Coach, and say to yourself, that was the turning point? Did you beat a team? Did you do something? Did you limit your mistakes? Did you force a lot of turnovers? What was the thing that all of a sudden Northwestern went from that team, yeah, this is an off year, to a team that won a state title again?
I think the turning point was when we got an opportunity to play Miami Norris. Before we had played Miami Norris, we was coming off a month where we haven't won the game, and the kids know we just started winning. We'll get back the momentum and get to play like Northwestern should be playing. So once we got the opportunity to play good against Miami Northern, the kids came around and they thought that they thought we had a chance, because they thought everybody was going to take us lightly, because the team that we had to face in the playoff were all better than we were.
Right. In their mind, they were.
In their mind, they were. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, because when it comes to playoff time, I mean, I can't remember the last time Northwestern was completely out of anything. I mean, even when the year before, even 2 years ago, when you guys really didn't have all the parts, you still gave everybody fits. You took Central right down to the wire. You played Carroll City, as you do, tough all the time. But now, even though those teams are still in your neighborhood and everything, they're not district games anymore, and now you're in 5A, and Central stays in 6, and Central goes to 4. You like that? I mean, because you still play them. I mean, and you still have that competition. But do you like that you're out of the district?
I don't like it, but I like it. I don't like it because if they beat me in the regular season, I don't get an opportunity to get revenge.
Yes,
and I like it because it's an opportunity where it'd be a good opportunity for maybe all of us to end up in state at one time.
Right.
And that'd be nice for our community.
Yeah.
So I like that part about it. But I don't like the part that if they beat me, I have to wait a whole another year to get a shot at them.
Yeah, well, now if everybody wins state, the MLK Diner will be they won't have any room for any of the trophies to display anymore. So, you guys are still doing pretty good. Talk about the defense, because we know as well as anybody up front last year, you had one go to Miami, one go to Pittsburgh. You had one go to South Carolina. Big time kids going all over the place. Your linebacking core. How do you replace that? Because that's awfully tough. Talk about how you go about replacing a front defensive line like that.
Well, we had some young guys on the team that, you know, got an opportunity to play. So this year be their chance to step up and keep the tradition going. They don't want to be the first classes. The last two classes took us to state. So they don't want to be the first class not to take us to state. So they're going to play pretty tough. And it's hard to replace guys like Sam Brooks and Kalijah Cassidy and Leslie Smith. They're going to be very hard to do. But these guys are up to the challenge, and I think they're going to play very well and represent Northwestern in good faith.
Secondary-wise, I think you guys have potentially one of the best around. Athletic, gifted, young in some spots, but, you know, kids like Burns and who learned a lot last year. Talk about that secondary and how you guys keep producing kids like that, because it looks like Northwestern's going to have a first-round draft pick in Baker come this week.
Yeah, we're all excited about that, about for Baker opportunity and, you know, to represent Miami Northwestern himself. But we have guys like Ronald Delancey,
yep.
Timothy Burns.
One of the best. Yeah, Kitchens.
Marcus Fleming.
Wow.
We got guys that are going to play in the secondary that they got speed and got experience. So I look forward to our back end plans. I'm looking forward to seeing them. I think they're going to do a real good job.
Running wise on the offense, really good running game. Offensive line, obviously, Fox is gone, but hey, you know, that's, you guys seem to replace them like crab claws over there. I mean, you have Telly's kid, who's really an up and coming young kid. Talk about the offensive line, because that's usually your strength.
We got Terrell Torrance, who's coming back. As you said, we got Telly Lockett and Justin Mack. We got guys that's coming back that played a little bit, and I think they're going to go ahead and pull together and try to keep that tradition of having a run game without running back to Andre Springfield and Nathan Noel. I think those guys run the ball pretty good, so we're excited about the spring. We're excited to see what they're going to do as far as keeping up the tradition and the pride of Northwestern. So we're very excited about practice today.
Well, yeah, I know this was the first day of practice. You still have a lot of kids out at track. Knowing you guys probably pretty much all your speed kids are over at track. But the one thing, though, when you take a look at it, you have a really good schedule coming up in the fall again. You have a couple of trips planned. Talk about that, your schedule.
Yeah, I love the schedule. We try to play a national schedule. We got IMG this year again. We got Loudoun County. And, of course, when you get the kickoff, with Cal City and
nice,
and you still play Central. But you know, Larry, I was hoping you would help me out because I still need two more games.
Well, tell people Northwestern needs two games.
There you go.
When do you need them? When do you need them?
Travel. Tell them we're willing to travel a host. So I'm hoping you help me out. So
I will.
Thank you for asking that question. There.
Tell Coach Vern to text me the dates, and then I'll put them out there.
We definitely will do that, Larry.
Good stuff. Coach, again, congratulations. Keep it going. Now you don't offend anybody, because now you're away from Carroll City, you're away from Central, but everybody will still be there when you play them, believe me.
They most certainly will, but I think the other way, Larry, they happy they're away from us also.
I'm sure.
That works both ways.
I hear you, Coach. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Max Edwards, and what a great show it was. Started out with Coach Matt DeBuck. This was a state championship evening. I'm hoping that you all listen. If not, Danny's going to get it up on our for the podcast. You can check it out anytime, as a lot of people do. Don't forget SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. We're there every day, 10 blogs a day. Great website to check out. A lot of information, and our social media, whether it be on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. We're lighting it up all the time. Also, Coach Damian Jones from Chaminade, Christy Chirinos from South Florida Sun Sentinel, and Coach Max Edwards. Danny G, thanks so much for what you do. Greg Likens is next. Don't forget, a lot to talk about in the next 2 hours.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.